Rolling noises. Welcome to Super Garbage Day, a retro video game review show, where my co-host and I randomly select a game generally obscure 20 years or older. Actually, you choose the games now, because now we're pulling from the Patreon poll every week, with hopes to find the treasures in the trash, or maybe have some fun along the way. I'm your host, B. Ross, and returning from the nether realm,
I'm going to seduce you with my new smoky voice.
Is
Mr. Miller.
Mr. Miller. Wow. Pure arousal.
Razzle dazzle.
Razzle dazzle. The Super Garbage Bowl kicks off today, so that's exciting.
I would usually say something like Super Garbage Bowl, but that's how it comes out.
Well, we're glad you're here and you're back. We know you had to fight off some lung demons.
I was fighting some demons for sure. Lung demons.
Quit running from your lung demons. Yeah, but we're glad you're back, especially for this episode. It's a big one. But the Super Garbage Bowl will start today. It'll be fun. I got the NES set up right over there. We're gonna do the first 8 games. Okay. So because it's 16. I figured at first I said, oh, this is gonna be like 4 episodes. This is gonna be more than 4 episodes.
Oh yeah.
4 definitely. But it's gonna be all the Patreon episodes for the rest of the summer is gonna be this. So it'll be fun. Starts today. If you don't know what that is, we had our patrons all submit one Nintendo game that they thought was dog crap. And we're going to have a tournament to find out what is the worst game in this March Madness of garbage games. So stickers are here.
And they look fantastic. Yeah,
look at the stickers, man. Look at that Backlog Eternal one.
Yeah, those turned out way good.
Oh, man. So good.
This company, like...
Oh, yeah. Vinyl Disorder, man. I've always used them.
Shout out to them.
They always... And their stickers last forever.
These NES Hard ones are dope.
I know. They burned this one years ago, and it still has been
still going strong.
Been through hell in a handbasket.
Yeah, these are rad.
I know. So, everybody who was a part of the NES Bowl, please send me your shipping address. I will send you the set of the 3 stickers of the shows. And also, if you sign up as a new patron for a $5 tier, I'm just going to send you a set of those stickers. That's going to be a new perk. So, I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Get some stickers. Moving forward, that's great. We'll be on Twitch later today. So twitch.tv/supergarbagebowl. Super Garbage Bowl. Super Garbage Day.
You just want to say Super Garbage Bowl.
Doing the Super Garbage Bowl. And if you can't make it to that, don't worry, because I'm going to upload that to our YouTube channel. Just look up Super Garbage Bowl podcast on the tubes of Yubes. And we have a Discord. It's free. It's in the show notes. Come in, say hi. And that's it.
I do have a important announcement to make. I did recently accept a position with Leica Studios up in Hillsboro.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Life changing.
With that going forward, I am going to have to relocate. So doing live recordings is going to be maybe a little more difficult, but we will make the podcast go on.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out. So, but I'm very happy for you. I'm glad that you've got, well, if anybody deserves it, it's you. So
thanks, man.
You put the work in, and I'm glad that you're going to be working in the CG industry.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Doing the big boy jobs.
Wonderful. Okay, well, let's get on with it. Oh, by the way, I was listening to, before I asked the retro question of the week, I was listening to a show that that's in my rotation every week, and they started doing a question of the week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, I don't know if our show has anything to do with it, but New Game Plus now does like a question of the week. That's, and then like funny. They started a Patreon, or not Patreon, but they started a on their Discord, there's like an area.
Oh, that's funny.
And I'm like, okay, well, it's fine. Like, they're
cross-pollination, man.
It's all good, because you know, we draw random games like they do, so it's all gravy, baby. Anyways, it's time for the retro question of the week. This comes from DR Pajama Hammock. Mr. Miller, what is your third favorite RPG game of all time?
Third favorite RPG of all time is probably going to be, let's see. You know, it's probably actually going to be Super Mario RPG.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a good one, man.
It's really good.
It is good.
Or I don't know, Paper Mario's up there too. I like that one a lot.
So just the Mario? Just the Mario?
I mean, if I'm going in the third favorite.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
okay. I mean, more than KOTAR, or I actually don't even know what you hold up highest on your RPG Mount Rushmore, but
my favorite RPG was probably the second Mass Effect.
Yeah.
I've mentioned it before. Yes.
Yeah, that's right.
And then probably KOTOR.
Okay. And then Paper Mario.
And then like Mario RPG or Paper Mario.
Now, are we talking Paper Mario N64 or the Thousand Year Door?
I haven't played the Thousand Year Door.
I haven't either. And I hear it's the best one.
Need to give that a shot.
But I think it's on the Wii though, isn't it?
Yeah. That's just shot out of a cannon. Cause there's so many good RPGs out there.
Yeah. And also if it's your third, you can kind of change it whenever and
nobody's going to be like, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you right now, spoiler alert, Chrono Trigger is my favorite third RPG of all time. Maybe second. I don't know.
I was going to put it in there, but I didn't want to bury the lead.
Yeah, well, I thought about it right now, and I had this debate all day as I was working, and I don't know. It's now up there.
Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, my first favorite might actually be Pokemon, though.
Oh, like original Yellow?
Yeah. Red.
I've never played a Pokemon game.
Yep. I mean,
just the card game.
I recently replayed through it and I was like, this is amazing. Yeah.
Holds up?
And it wasn't just nostalgia. I was like,
we're talking the Game Boy original?
Yeah. Wow. I had the time of my life.
Well, there's a reason why that game is considered one of the greatest of all time and why that IP makes a skadillion dollars a day.
Right. So they just print money with that IP, honestly.
Really? I know. Especially with like Pokemon Go and all that. What was such a good idea? Anyways, so as I stated, Chrono Trigger, I think, has now taken that third spot. Maybe second. I don't know. Depends. But let's just get into this week's game, which comes from the Patreon pool, just like every game does now moving forward. So get your games in. If you haven't submitted your game, this is a new month. And if you're a patron, be sure to add to the list. It's getting big. We're at like 40 something plus games now on there. Yeah,
we're eventually just going to have the entire catalog.
Yeah. In there. Well, also, to be fair, some of those games on there have four submissions themselves.
Oh, wow.
So I know Mega Man X2 now has the record for most submissions without being chosen. So followed by closely by Jurassic Park Rampage Edition on the Genesis. So
I'm actually really curious about that one.
Yeah, I am too. All right. So this week's game comes from, I think Ken Shiro put it in. I think it's the Ken Shiro jam.
I think so.
If not, let me know if I'm wrong and I will give you the correct props next episode. And this game is Chrono Trigger on the Super Nintendo Entertainment System.
Yeah!
Chrono Trigger is a 1995 role-playing video game developed and published by Square. It originally released for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System as the first game in the Chrono series. The game's development team included three designers that Square dubbed the Dream Team. Okay, oh, here we go. Hironobu Sakaguchi, creator of Square's Final Fantasy series, Fuji Hori, creator of Enix's Dragon Quest series, and Akira Toriyama, character designer of Dragon Quest, and the author of the Dragon Ball manga series.
Oh, really? That's why all these characters look like DBZ characters. Yes. I didn't know that.
In addition, Takashi Tokita co-directed and co-wrote the scenario. Oh, Kazuhiko Aoki produced the game, which is, I think that's why they have an Aoki village. Masato Kato, what a name. Masato Kato wrote most of the story while composer... Oh, all right, bear with me. Yasunori Mitsuda wrote most of the soundtrack before falling ill and deferring the remaining tracks to the Final Fantasy series composer Nobuo Uematsu. The game's story follows a group of adventurers who travel through time to prevent a global catastrophe. Yeah, I only messed up.
That's like a lot of very difficult names.
Half of that was Japanese, that paragraph. But I did my best. I try to not F them up, but the cool thing about Japanese language is that it's very pronounceable.
So yeah, it's so pronounceable.
Well, it is. It's better than saying like me trying to pronounce like Russian stuff, you know?
No, I think I do better with that.
Yeah, well, probably. So that's the game. This is the biggest game in the world, apparently, in the podcast realm.
Oh, yeah, it's huge.
Yeah, this is what... every week I'm like, this might be the biggest game we covered. Well, this is easily the biggest game we've covered. Well, this also, if people didn't know, this is my first time ever playing this game. I've never played this game. I played it this week and I almost completed it. And I'm okay with spoilers, but just letting everybody know moving forward, if you haven't for some reason been the other human in this world other than me who hasn't played Chrono Trigger, please, by all means, go play it and then come back to the podcast because everything's getting spoiled.
Oh, so, yeah.
Everything. So first impression. Immediately, I was the music. Music, like right out of the gate.
And that opening.
Yeah, with the pendulum. Mm-hmm. The music's like, it's fantastic. It's beautiful. It's wonderfully, it's epic. It's everything you want in an RPG, right? But then also, you know, like the, you felt the epicness immediately from the visuals of the opening scene. And then also it plays that little like demo reel almost of like the things that happen within the story, but kind of condensed.
Oh yeah. Just the kind of like flashes.
Yeah. But it's not, it's, I think it's more like just the first half of the game. It doesn't really jump too far. And I was impressed. I was like, wow, they whatever, this game right out the gate feels AAA. Like this is a big, I know going into this, this is one of the biggest games and not just Super Nintendo history, but in the history of video games. So of course, I mean, it's hard for me not to be like, wow, this is so impressive. I tried to go into this knowing that I've never played it before, but I know of it. I know that it's people will die on this hill.
Oh yeah.
Yes. Big time.
I won't fight them on that hill. Like,
well, I won't either, but I don't know. We'll see. This game right out the gate was like your standard, right? Right when I started, I'm like, oh, here we go. Waking up. Our mom's waking us up in our room and it's a festival or something. And I've always said, when I did the first impression on Twitch, I said, oh man, whenever there's a festival going on,
in oh, you RPG, know, the end of the world is right coming. Around the corner. Yeah.
Something bad's coming. I'm glad that didn't affect me in real life where I have like a festival phobia or something.
All right. At least in this one, they didn't do the child savior trope. Like,
right.
It's kind of assumed you're an adult that just lives at home.
I looked into it and Chrono as your, they say silent protagonist, but you talk a lot. I don't know what they're talking about.
All right.
You do a whole trial where you repeat or you have to answer questions. But Chrono is like, they're saying he's somewhere in like late teens, early like
because adulthood. It's very common in Japan for young adults to still live with their family.
Yeah. And these days too.
Yeah.
And that's the economy, well, man.
Especially nowadays, yeah.
Eggs are $17, man.
But that's always been a trope of JRPGs in particular.
Oh yeah.
That always bugged me where I was just like, okay, here goes a bunch of children to fight the adults who are bringing about the apocalypse.
There's children who are gonna fight the undead dragon.
Yeah, right.
But so you start off and it was really pretty. The first thing that that I noticed was how detailed the sprite work is in the backgrounds.
They're really good.
They had fake lighting effects. Mm-hmm. Like that looked, it's like, the only way I can describe it is obviously the Super Nintendo doesn't have the processing power to have like really good lighting effects, but they pulled off some of the most impressive looking light effects with just using like gradients and
it's
with sprite
it's
artwork.
Fake voxel effects.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so detailed. Like just the bookshelves and everything. Like when you go into certain houses, there's certain later on in the game, obviously there's like locations that blew my mind on the way they looked. But as first impressions went, I'm like, all right. And then the controls, I like the fact that just right out the gate, you get a run button.
Mm-hmm.
Access the menu pretty easily. Standard stuff. Movement was good. I mean, my first impressions were, I was like, okay, I'm down. This looks good. This looks as good as it gets when it comes to RPGs.
My only complaint, and it's kind of funny. It's not really a complaint.
Yeah.
But that your character can get stuck inside of other characters.
Yeah.
Did you ever experience that?
Yeah, I think it happened once.
So like, you know, yeah. if somebody's on their roaming path.
You're not talking about the love scene.
No. Okay. Yeah, the hot coffee moment.
Yes.
But no, there will be times where they'll be doing their path and you're like trying to walk through and you'll get stuck inside their sprite and you're like,
and you have to do this, it's like jittery back and forth thing.
It's kind of funny, but it's also just like, why did they do that? That's why I said it's like, it's this minor nitpicky thing.
It's hard to find flaws in this game because it's so tightly coded and tightly like arranged and presented.
Before we get too deep into the weeds, how far did you get?
I got right until the point where you are can fight Lavos if you want.
Oh, you got way far.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, oh yeah. I put the work in.
Okay.
This game, I couldn't put it down. This hasn't happened to me in a long time. Well, that's not true because that I couldn't put down Resident Evil 7. So, but I forgot to do the new part of our show, which is what are you playing?
Oh.
Ryan, what are you playing?
Oh, right now. Yeah, okay. I'm actually playing BattleBit Remastered.
Oh, I saw you did buy that, and I have so many questions. I'm glad you brought that up.
It was actually gifted to me by a good friend and listener of the show, Lyman.
Oh, cool.
It is
props. Shout out to Lyman.
It is a remaster. How do I say a remaster?
Yeah.
It is Battlefield 2.
Okay.
Kinda. With, because there's some extra quality of life and some different things that they added.
Yeah.
With Minecraft style graphics so that they can.
So it processes well.
So it processes better.
Yeah.
And that means optimized. They can put in double the amount of players.
What's the max amount of players?
126 versus 126.
What?
It's insanity. It's really fun.
And the frame rate's solid?
Frame rate's solid. Wow. Gunplay is.
It's like 200 and.
That's 252 players.
52?
Yeah.
Oh, man. My elementary math is spot on.
But it's actually, at first I was just like, all right, I'm glad I got this for free.
My finger was hovering over the buy button, but it's, I saw you bought it, and I'm like, I'm going to ask him. And so you brought it up here, so it's good.
It's fun. Also, like, it's got decent lighting effects.
Mm.
And the gunplay is super solid.
Yeah.
Once you get in it, you kind of just, like, forget that it's all Minecrafty.
Well, I mean, a good game does that.
And because, yeah, the fights are intense. The physics work really well. Like, grenades feel great.
Graphics, I mean, that's not my argument about graphics, is that, like, your brain doesn't care after a while. I mean, ask the millions of RuneScape players that have forfeited thousands of hours to a game that looks like RuneScape. So do you recommend it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a good old time. It's
like $15, right?
Yeah. And if you liked the Battlefield series
at all. I loved Battlefield 4.
It'll be right up your alley.
It was like my two favorite Battlefields were 1942, the first one.
Okay.
And then 4.
1942 is actually like the third one.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
I know that. Battlefield 1 is set in like modern era.
Oh, I meant like when they were released.
Oh.
Like Battlefield 1942, I think, was. I remember playing the demo in 2002.
Because 1 and 2 were only on the PC.
Yeah, this one was only on the PC.
Okay.
Yeah.
But anyways, the only thing that they don't have is they took out the parachute, which is nice.
Okay.
Because that was stupid, being able to pop a parachute jumping off of a 3-story building.
Well, there's like 200 people playing.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean like actually like jumping off a building and then parachuting down?
Yeah. That became a thing, and it's kind of dumb.
But
it's good.
Cool. I'm glad that you
derailed.
That's pushing me towards purchasing it, because I wanted to know, because I played I was able to play some of the extermination with you and another friend of ours. That was cool. We got down on some Starship Troopers.
Oh yeah.
And that game's fun, man. And if you want to hear that review, check it. It's on our Patreon.
Only getting better too.
Yeah, I saw that we played like a new update, and I played it on my Steam Deck. I was like, it was blowing my mind.
They're about to add the locusts too. Like, if you remember from the movie, the flying bugs.
Yeah,
those are on the horizon.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
that game's intense. Also, you know, it's the Steam summer sale, so for like another week and a half, so get on that. But I bought and started playing The Outer Wilds, and. Which is kind of I don't know how to describe it.
All right, I get these confused. Is this
It's not the first person shooter, but it's the one where you're like
an alien and exploring. Okay, that's the better one.
Yeah, like there's a small little. You have a small little solar system. Yeah. It's all about figuring
That's the good one.
Okay,
Outer Worlds is the one I'm thinking of. That's like
this is Outer Wilds.
Like 10 years too late.
Didn't they come out around the same time? And
they did.
What game is what?
Yeah, they did, and it really hurt Outer Wilds.
Yeah,
because Outer Worlds looked like this brand new RPG, but it plays like BioShock.
Well, it's Bethesda, right? And it's like that system. I don't know. Anyways, I'm not playing that one. I'm playing the Outer Wilds.
Okay,
and so far I'm having a blast with that. It plays super good on the Steam Deck, and I also picked up Disco Elysium. So
I hear that game is fantastic.
That game is a trip. All I can tell you so far is that game is something else. It's got some of the best voice work I've ever heard in video game history. So it's definitely an old school style RPG. And by that, I mean just a lot of dialogue, but the voice work was done so well. I got both of those, I think, like $20 total. So
no, that's a good deal.
I hit that Steam sale hard. Yeah. So, all right, back to Chrono Trigger.
Man, we're back. We can edit that in post.
Yes. I'm leaving it in. I that was my first impression of Chrono Trigger. Do you remember your first impression of this game?
Yeah, actually, because it was my 30th birthday.
Okay.
So like 5 years ago.
Okay.
Was the first time I played it. I was gifted the machine that I'm playing most of the ROMs on.
Okay.
And was just asking roommates and stuff like, all right, what are the old games I missed?
Yeah.
And because I got all of them now. And Mike, I think, was actually the one who was just like, did you ever play Chrono Trigger?
Yeah.
And so I was like, nope. And got into that. Immediately it was like, I think I played it for like 8 hours straight.
Yeah, the game is addictive, dude. It's also available on the SNES Classic if somebody doesn't want to pay the ridiculous.
There's also a DS version, apparently.
Yeah, and there's also a PlayStation version that sucks.
Well, there's are you thinking of Chrono Cross?
No. I'm talking. Okay. It was like a re-release, but it came out. They said it was almost unplayable because of loading and like the font's hard to read.
Weird.
Yeah, so it was like a really
how'd they mess that up?
It was a bad port. Huh. I don't know.
So yeah, that's actually what I rebooted because I never finished it.
Right.
And so for this playthrough,
you actually finished it?
I didn't know how far you were gonna get.
Yeah.
And so I booted up my old save file and continued on. It took me a while to like refamiliarize myself with the abilities and the combat system and also stuff.
Also the story, like, because you literally
I just read a synopsis until where I got. But yeah, I got to the last battle. I didn't finish him, but I got to the last fight.
Well, that's great to hear. And
there's a lot of backtracking.
There is a lot of backtracking, but I think they do it pretty perfectly.
The end game gets kind of grindy.
Yeah, but also at any time you can end the game.
Then that's another thing to this game's credit is there's like 12 different endings.
Yeah, and we've gotten neither of the 12. Neither of us have gotten any.
All of them because I was just like, I just need to know how it ends.
But yeah, let's get into it. Let's just talk about gameplay. So this game is a well-made RPG. There's so many things about it that I liked. I feel like if they did re-release it, it didn't need a lot of quality of life improvements. First off, I was a big fan of how you level up and you just level up. You don't have to, you don't have to allocate points anywhere. It just improves that because a lot of your strength and your defenses are built off of your like weapons.
That's
and
your what the tablets are for.
Yeah, the tablets give you the plus ones.
Because there is a method to the madness.
Yeah.
On those tablets and like who to give them to.
Yeah. So depending on what they raise, right?
And at what levels, because there are certain level gaps where you if you have your power at a certain level,
yeah,
you'll actually gain more per level.
Oh,
versus
depending on if you use
those. So you want to try and use them earlier in the game instead of like saving it right until the end and just like giving yourself
a big boost. Use them all the time
because there is a scaling system in the background.
Also, thank God for the unlimited inventory.
Oh yeah, that's one of the
God, thank you.
That's one of the best things about this is you could just have a fat stack of stuff
and not have to have it. And it's interchangeable really easy when you have to equip stuff. It doesn't matter it's just like one big bag pretty much.
Well, especially because you have to switch your party out constantly.
Right, cuz you only fight with 3 people.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have
a party of potentially 7.
Yeah. And it's great because the gameplay is just your standard RPG style JRPG, but I'm a big fan. There's a lot of things this game does that just totally hits a lot of my check marks.
I really like the chronometer.
I do too. I like the fact that they give you the option to do turn-based or to have the meter, mm-hmm. the real-time meter. I like the combat system in general. I think it's fantastic. I love that where you're positioned and where the enemies are positioned, you move around a lot in your battle scenes.
Yeah, I like that it's on map battle scenes too. Like it doesn't.
Yeah. And the enemies are there.
Mm-hmm.
There's no random out of nowhere encounters.
Count how many you're going to fight.
With an exception to a couple instances where like they're hiding in trees or something and they jump down or whatever. But because of that, you can avoid enemies if you need to backtrack, which I did a lot. That's something I love is enemies on the screen. That, and then when you do your battle attack, it stays right there. It doesn't change the screen or anything, which is fine. I like Wild Arms for what it is, but it's a completely different JRPG than this.
Right.
This reminded me more of a Secret of Evermore or Secret of Mana. One of those two.
Secret of Mana.
Yeah. And, you know, the battle music's dope, and it's the only battle music you're going to have the whole game, with an exception to boss battles.
Right.
Or, like, key fights. Then the way that your team can work together with their abilities, their tech, is really fucking cool.
Yeah, the duo tech and the triple tech. Yeah, the
triple tech is nuts. The fact that you all also kind of, like, you can build your, like, you're working with three characters, but you can build a nice arrangement for the level you're in. The game is a little trial and error, I think, but it's not too punishing.
Right.
And it allows you to go back and be like, okay, well, let me figure this out. Because what I really thought was interesting about the combat mechanics or the enemies in this game is that they're all so different.
Mm-hmm.
They all are so different. Like, some enemies react a certain way to a certain attack. Some don't. Some of them, you can't attack them until their animation's different.
Right.
And you have to pay a lot of attention to what's going on. Sometimes I see dialogue that indicates things. Usually bosses will do that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was really cool when you figure that out on your own. You get this aha moment all the time, and then you just murk them. You know? I love that. It's a big dopamine drip for me in an RPG.
I did like the elemental battle system. You got to pay attention of what type of creatures you're fighting. Like, if it's all dinosaurs, you want to use nothing but electric attacks.
Lightning. Yeah. And all your characters all have, like, a specialty. Like, there's water magic. There's
water, fire,
shadow.
Lightning and physical.
Yeah. And heart. But yeah, I thought that the characters are engaging. They have,
you got anime dude bro with a sword.
You got a frog.
You got a frog. You got hot cat lady.
Yeah.
A robot.
You got, you know, and like all these different characters, they feel like them, those characters. Like, when you play as them, the way they're set up, their gameplay style is like Robo feels like Robo. The attacks, the way he moves, the way he sounds. I know that I'm like dipping my toes into like graphics and audio here, but ultimately they just feel good when you control them. They feel like they seem.
I did like too that your party is always present. It's not just one sprite. You can see your other people, and they interact with the world differently. So like when you run, the cat lady gets all on all fours. Yes. Robo, like
frog.
I love frog.
It's this crazy running animation where his legs just are enormous. But yeah, and I think that it does a good job. The way it feels, it just feels good. Like, the controls are so tight and perfect. And at no point did I feel like whenever the game would frustrate me or I would lose in battles or anything, I wouldn't be like, this game is bull crap. I would be like, all right, what did I learn? Mm-hmm. What do I have to go back and do? Because right when you die, it's like you die and then it's title screen. I was like, oh, shit. Like, just really fast.
Yeah. Sometimes you would die and it actually gives you the bad ending.
Right.
Did you ever get that?
No.
With like, it basically just shows like all the places in the different times.
Yeah.
And what is his name? Lavos.
Yeah.
It's just like shooting giant spikes through the ground and just like impaling people. And there's just like fire falling from the sky.
1999 Lavos.
Yeah.
That old school Lavos. Yeah. That's, I really feel as a JRPG, its mechanics are almost perfect. They're perfect. I'm going to say they're just perfect. They take a lot of things I liked in other games and they, I didn't say made them better, but they just like, they're just really well crafted. And you can tell the team behind this, especially the team that coded this, think of all the things they had to like consider in this game. Like, I know it's pretty linear too. It's not very wide open in the sense of like open worldness.
It gives you the,
but it needs to be like
the that. Sense of,
it gives you the sense, but it's a story driven game.
Yes.
So therefore the linearity of it is perfect, I think, because I was never bored and I actually didn't want to stray off the beaten path, to be honest. That's why like near the end, I'm like, I don't care about the side quests very much.
See, that's where it gets a little grindy.
Yeah.
Is at the end because you want to do those side quests,
but you don't, I don't really want to. I want to like, I just want to get to Lavos and just get it over
if,
with.
If you are one of those people,
not a bad way. I just
if you're a completionist.
Yeah.
That's where I got into the weeds, because I'm just like, right. Well, gotta catch them all. Like,
you're a Pokemon man.
But the well, especially because I was hoping to fiddle around with the new game plus.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a certain dungeon you have to beat to even unlock new game plus. You don't just finish the game and right. get new game plus. You have to go through a dungeon to have it even be an option.
That's cool. So it's like it's still a test.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
And it's a big fat boss run, basically.
Yeah.
Where you just have to go through almost every boss.
Also, the bosses are so different. Every interaction and every encounter felt different. Mm-hmm. Literally, even down like the rats that steal your stuff, or like the guys that like jump on the balls and they become like a bigger creature, yeah. but you're fighting them individually.
The with the imps and the yeah. roly polies.
You know, that's like early on, but you know, and then later on when you're fighting the dinosaurs, just the way like they react and how like sometimes some of the you got to figure out real quickly, like, okay, who's healing who.
Mm-hmm.
Some enemies will actually create other enemies out of nowhere. Some enemies will be completely handicapped if you get rid of an enemy where they're like all they seem
I can't do anything anymore.
Yeah, yeah. They seem like some of them use other enemies as weapons.
Like the giant apes throwing the mushrooms. Yeah, they just pull them up and just throw them
at you. I just think like, God, the amount of variety in this game of like, not just the enemies, but the way you fight them, it was so fresh. It never got boring.
Yeah. You know? I like some of the like side minigame things too, like the races.
Oh, dude. Like right off the gate, you like play a lot of those festival games, which yeah. I thought was really cool.
But I really liked the race sequences.
Oh yeah. Oh, the F-Zero.
Uh-huh. I was like,
bro.
Oh,
I did not.
I know this.
I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
I was like, what? Like that actually made me go, all right, this game is great.
Yeah.
Like it's one of those, oh my God moments where I'm like, I didn't know this happened in the game. Now we're using the FX chip.
Uh-huh.
Let's go. Yeah. And what a great time to introduce it too, is in like the dystopian future.
Yeah, like 2400 or something
yeah,
I like think that.
It's the 2300 AD. So Proto Dome, Banger Dome, and Banger Dome.
Banger Dome.
But no, I think it's great. I mean, I can't really praise its controls, its gameplay enough. Like, it's really was so, it's one of those games that was addictive, man. I kept wanting to play it. I wanted to stay up all night playing it. This game has that alchemy.
Send you back to, you know, when you're in high school, middle school, and you're just like, no, blurry all nighter,
blurry eyed yeah. on the CRT. And I played it on a CRT and I played it on the Super Nintendo. And I was like, I felt it. I was like, I'm literally playing this game. And I was like, lucky. I'm like, I can't believe I'm playing this for the first time. And it hooked me immediately. And I'm like, thank God, because I don't know, man, retro tinted glasses. Some things you're
this
like,
this one is immune to that.
I apparently.
No, this one is not nostalgia bait at all.
Well, I'm trying to figure out how people could dislike it, but to be fair,
if you don't like RPGs,
that is what I was about to say. If you're not a fan of this genre, then yeah, you'll be like, whatever. But I still feel like you could talk somebody, like give it like an hour, you know, get to that scene with the court and the escape, you know, like, cause it does so many things in this gameplay that like keeps changing it up in 1 second. You're fighting like normal, whatever, in the forest. And the next you're on trial and you're answering these questions and you're watching the scene. And then you have to like manage this big escape. And I don't know. It's many memorable moments.
That trial scene just brought me back to old Baldur's Gate 2. No. Was it Baldur's Gate 2 or Neverwinter Nights?
Well, they're on the same.
Because there is straight up. They must have stolen that trial scene from this game. Because it is almost beat for beat the same thing.
Also, props to the sprite designer for that scene. Because holy crap!
Yeah,
that's just one of the best looking pixel art.
Was that in 1080?
Yeah, that's I think that's kind of present time. Yes, it's like your time, a Chronos time, I'll call it. But his name was Beef in mine, so it's like confusing. But I also named everybody got their same names except Chrono was named Beef and Robo was named Keith.
Okay.
So that'll be funny to have a robot named Keith.
There is a moment where there is a quest that gives you the option to rename a character.
Yeah. But I kind of didn't opt. I'll tell you later on, you know, something else that surprised this game surprised me because it kept surprising me all the time. It's such a good story.
Yeah.
It's one of the best stories.
Especially for being a time traveling story.
Yeah. It's one of the best stories, I think, on the Super Nintendo, at least. Like, I'm not going to say long time, but I think it's up there. It's good. And if you follow it enough, some of it gets a little confusing, but I definitely was gripped by it. But with that being said, I didn't expect, huge spoiler alert, for the main character to die.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't bring him back.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I was like, putting Frog in, let's go.
That's funny. Yeah,
I was like, let's go, Magus. Did you get Frog?
I was going to ask, did you get Magus?
Yeah. That too. You're telling me, like, oh, dude, I mean, I guess this is part of gameplay still, but like, there was like, you lose, the main character dies, and you can choose to bring them back, or you can just keep going forward.
Yeah.
Because the characters are so well developed. They're all so full of characters. That's
funny that you're just like, oh, my frontliner died. All right, Frog, you're up.
Yeah, Frog is legit, dude, with his weird earthworm gym arm whenever you win a battle. What is that about?
Him flexing his beefy bicep.
It's an earthworm gym's arm. Yeah. Am I alone here? But, and then, like, I thought it was cool because all of a sudden I'm like, I'm so, like, attached to the story. I'm like, yeah, Frog and Magus, who, like, hate each other.
Magus is the guy who turned him into a frog.
Yeah, and killed his best friend.
Yeah.
And now his best friend's like in a sword, you know, like, and I'm like, no, this works. All this torment happened. I'm like, this is so cool, though. This is a story I'd want to see. I don't want to bring back Chrono.
That's funny that you're just like, nope, this is now my tragic tale.
I like it, though. Yeah. I was like, it's kind of cool. It gives you the option to do that because I'll be honest with you, Chrono's kind of like the most boring character in the whole thing.
I like his, triple moves.
I do too, but as far as I was like so story driven of my experience with this, I was so driven by the story that I was like, I was so enthralled that I kept playing to see more of the story. Very rarely happens with me on visiting old retro games.
Yeah.
Right.
I kind of liked Chronos. So I kept,
I didn't hate him, but, I also didn't think he was going to die.
Oh yeah.
And then I you know, I got Frog and I got, Magus, like the run of the front lines. And then I'd like swap out the healer, which would be like, well, anyways, let's talk about the characters. There's Chrono, Meryl, who's like the princess.
Yeah.
The hidden princess trope, which happens to be in every JRPG.
And she just ends up being a heal bot.
Yep. And she's good at it,
though. But she's really good at it.
Yeah. Especially you can combine that with like, what's cool is you can combine her heal with like Chrono's like spin attack early on.
I really like, actually one of the better, speaking of healers. Well, we'll get to him.
Yeah.
We'll get to him.
And then we got Luca, who is like the ranged fighter from the get-go, who's the little gadget girl who's great.
Yeah, the artificer with her firebombs and shit.
Yeah, it's so cool. And then, of course, Frog was, the more you play the game, you know, you realize he was this great warrior, but he has this giant heart and he has all the shame of like letting down things in his past. And then more he finds out.
It was funny that they didn't make him a samurai because he wields Masuame.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, the sword that you had to build,
the demon blade.
Yeah, but the blade also, like, doesn't the blade take on like his old comrades, like, yeah, spirit?
That's part of the lore of a Masuame, is it? Yeah. Like, it absorbs souls.
But no, he was more of like a swordsman, like a
very knight-esque,
unguard. Yeah, kind of.
I think that's actually what his big beefy arm is still just like his human arm,
yeah,
just like hanging around on this frog body. Well,
it's earthworm Jim's arm, and nobody's convincing me otherwise. But Frog, I mean, and these characters, I mean, with an exception to Chrono and Luca, these other characters, you get to learn every single thing about them and how they came to be and why they are the way they are. And then you also get to see them change.
There's a lot of side banter too.
Yeah. And it's like, it's so believable. I was so absorbed.
It's one of those where like, it makes you want to play it through another time.
Yeah, to see.
Because you want to have a different team member swapped out during a certain beat moment so you just get that different conversation.
Well, also, like, if I want to replay it, I'll probably replay it where I bring Chrono back, right? But I was like, I was all about the idea of, like, a main character dying. That's something else I think is kind of cool in things. Like, people loved Game of Thrones for that reason.
Right.
And so I was like, all right, let's roll this way. I know I can bring him back if I want to, but I do this like series of stuff. But I'm like, no, let's just go at it. Let's make this like this odd couple of people who should be mortal enemies,
right?
But they got to work together to kill this even way crazier thing. Especially when you realize like the story of Magus and why he is the way he is, and you think the whole time he is your main enemy, and then you realize that you guys have the same journey. You're just both trying to kill fucking
Lavos.
So
yeah,
I was like, oh, this is so so cool. Like, I'm so glad I went into it blind because I had no idea that it was this good.
Yeah,
I had no idea.
We got two more characters to talk about.
Yeah. So Robo.
Robo.
Yeah. Robo.
It, robot.
Yeah. He's great, though. I love how you find him. Mm-hmm. He's just a whatever machine. And then Luca fixes him. And then he's like friendly. And then, you know, you go through that whole level. He's in the future, which really cool, too, because you're taking, it's almost like Bill and Ted's in a sense of kinda, like,
yeah, where you're just taking collecting characters through time
and you're making this party. They're all from some of them. I think the two furthest are literally like billions of years apart.
Ayala and and Robo.
Yeah. They're like the furthest
apart. 65 million years ago.
And then like,
and then
what was it? Like 2300
yeah.
AD. Yeah. But they're working together.
Yep.
And I thought that was so cool. But Robo, he's named him Keith. He, his situation or his level is great too, because even though he's a robot, you like that he's friendly. Kind of almost gives you that kind of like almost like a pet,
yeah,
aspect. But then you see him get like messed up by his peers when he tries to convince you, no, they're good, and they just start beating his ass and then throw him in the trash. And then I was like, I was like so involved. I'm like, how dare you do that to Keith? And then like, I don't know. I was just like, so many times in this game, I was gripped and emotionally touched by the story and what was happening. And then there's, of course, oh, you call her
the sexy cat lady.
Yes.
Ayala.
Is that her? How do you pronounce her name?
A-Y-A-L-A.
I'm just calling her Ala, but
Ayala.
Ayala works. She is like the prehistoric chief woman who doesn't have any magic, but is just very physical. And
what's cool is you can charge. She has a lot of duo moves.
Yeah.
And so if you want to give her magic, you just have somebody else duo up with her.
Yeah.
And her duo moves kick ass.
There's also with us, I think she's really, really important in a part of the game where like you can't use magic.
Yeah. There are some creatures that if you use magic, it gets reflected back on you.
Right.
And so you just use Ayala and beat the shit out of them.
Yeah. She's cool. Like all those characters are cool. I liked every character in the game.
Robo, if you level him up enough, he actually gets one of the best healing moves in the game.
Oh yeah.
The triple healing laser, because it does damage and heals your whole party.
See, that's the best. Oh my god. That has to be like the best JRPG ability ever.
Yeah, where it's just like
it's all you want.
I kill you and I heal.
Yeah.
So I anytime a game gives me
the vampire,
exactly. Yeah. Anytime a game gives me like life steal,
yeah.
That's my build.
Absolutely. And then of course Magus, we talked about, who
is basically a vampire.
Yeah, but he's like Sephiroth vampire.
His triple moves are ridiculous,
devastating.
Yeah,
or keeping him, and I was like, I'm gonna keep him. Of course, join the party. I'm a big sucker for stories that do that. That like. They even do that in Super Mario RPG, you know, like when you're fighting the bigger evil, right? And then, of course, you bring him in and I'm like, oh, he is good.
He's really good.
So when Chrono died, I was like, well, I don't care. Like, I got Frog. And I got Magus. Like, that's all I need. Just those two and like a hailer. And I think I got the rest of the game covered. But
the it's funny because if you choose to duel to fight Magus, and you have Frog in your party at the time, Frog is the only one that fights. He won't let the other party members fight. So you have to fight Magus by himself with just Frog.
I love that they do things like that. Mm. That makes the atmosphere so much thicker, you know, like, and that's why it brings you in. The team obviously behind this is like some of the best of its time. It really shows.
The writers are really, really good
of that. And then I totally see some Dragon Ball Z looking characters in there too.
Like the whole time I was just like, as soon as you said that the guy who wrote the manga for Dragon Ball Z was involved, I'm like, oh, that's why they all look like Dragon Ball Z characters.
And I thought that was really cool. I'm wondering if there's also a lot of things in here that made me wonder if this predates or postdates Earthbound, because they're actually, after playing this game, I realized how similar those games are.
When did Earthbound come out?
I don't know, but this came out in 95.
95, yeah.
It's like the end of its life. I'm talking PS1 just came out a year prior.
Right.
So I'm wondering, and I don't think anybody's copying anybody, but I definitely at least see the way that JRPGs were headed.
Earthbound came out in 1989.
89? No, that's the first one.
Oh.
That's the Nintendo one. That's Mother. Earthbound is Mother 2.
Oh, SNES.
Yeah. God, imagine.
That's what I was like, 94. So,
rule. They're developed around the same time.
Earthbound came out first, though.
Totally different teams, like not even related. But there's similarities between these games. And I think that's also why I really enjoyed Chrono Trigger, is that Earthbound also is very linear. And what and you do kind of go through time.
I think Earthbound is probably one of the best introductory RPGs.
Earthbound or Chrono Trigger?
Earthbound.
I would say Chrono Trigger.
Like, because it's, well, Chrono Trigger is a little complicated.
But Earthbound gets way too hard, I think, for like it would turn a lot of people off, I think, halfway through, because it gets pretty punishing and you have to like really be all in on it. Where Chrono Trigger, I think it's actually kind of, I don't want to say easier, but.
Oh, it gets way easier at the end.
You just have more tools and you.
The boss fights get way harder.
Yeah.
But the you know, in between.
But the boss fights are great because they're almost like puzzle matches too. Like you're trying to figure out angles and systems and how to beat this, because a lot of them have like that guy who has what's his name, Melok, or it's that one fight that you do in the cave where he, if you attack him, he does this like ocean wave attack that hurts you all significantly, so you kind of just have to wait. You just sit around and wait for him to Melkor or something.
Melkorai,
something like that,
or Melkorai. They're all,
I think it's Melkor.
They're all of the like sages or whatever they're called, they're all biblical names.
Yeah, I noticed that. But I thought it was really cool. I guess we need to talk about graphics and audio, huh?
Let's talk about it. I mean, we have been talking about it.
We have, but let's at least play the music. So the game is fantastic. It looks good. It's aged perfect. I was not bothered at all. I didn't feel like any bit of it was outdated. The music is ridiculously good.
Yeah, I mean, if you gave this, the only way you could improve it is if you gave this like an Octopath Traveler's kind of graphical overhaul.
Oh, okay.
With added like more voxel art and right. sort of lighting effects and everything.
But it doesn't need it.
But it doesn't need it.
It's just so
that's
itself.
Just the one thing you could do in an overhaul.
For me, it's like that's like saying like, well, how would you rewrite Lord of the Rings? You know, like it's already good. Like I don't know what other than let people play it, which they have. This is much more accessible.
Yeah.
To the public than most games that cost $160 on the original cartridge. But, you know, I played this on the original Super Nintendo on a CRT, and it's just like, so it's just perfect. It looks good. It sounds good. It was one of those games I was playing so much of it that it was in my dreams, you know,
when I know that feeling,
you play too much of a game and it's like somehow makes its way into your dream. But I couldn't see it. There's nothing I would want changed. I love the way the characters look. I love the sprite work, how they all have different emotes and do different things. And some of them are really simplistic and silly, like the Chancellor in the beginning, when he doesn't have any like real differences in looks other than his face gets surprised. And they move his sprite up and down really big. And I thought at first I was like, that's kind of cheap. But later on I realized it's so intricate that I think they did that as a joke.
Yeah.
Just to make him silly.
It's very DBZ.
Yeah.
Which makes sense.
Which is one of my first, that was actually my introduction to anime was DBZ.
I think it was a lot of us. Yeah. Yeah.
It was my first time I ever smoked crack was Dragon Ball Z for sure.
The gateway. The gateway drug, kids.
Addicted. Oh, Cartoon Network. I could not stop. I was like every day at 5 o'clock. Let's go watch this.
See, that's why now we're going on a DBZ rant. That's why it was perfect though. Cause it was right when you got off school.
Yep.
You get home, you know, bus drops you off, drop off your backpack, make yourself a snack, and it's DBZ time. Let's go.
Maybe you can do some homework real fast or not.
Yep.
But yeah, it was DBZ. It was like back-to-back episodes. So you got that feel. But, oh, man, I loved Cell Saga. That's why.
I distinctly remember the Frieza arc because I would do homework during it. I mean, like, he's going to power up this spirit bomb for like 6 episodes.
Oh, cool.
I'll do my hard math homework now.
I can't believe they pulled that off. How dare them?
6 episodes.
He's charging. Oh. I know. And then you know what would piss me off is when you hear that announcer's voice come in.
Will Goku.
I'm like, damn it. Don't want to hear your voice.
Tune in next week.
It's like nothing happened. I know. Anyways, yeah, so obviously this is around the time period that Dragon Ball Z came out, or at least was you could watch it. No, I don't think so, though. 95?
Yeah, I think it would have been.
It would have been later. At least on, like, it coming out on Cartoon Network is what I'm saying. Maybe not its original broadcast. But there's some kids out there.
Yeah, because it first came out in 89, so give it about 6 years, it would be the about the right time for it to be. So
that means there's some kids out there who are grown adults now who were playing this game and watching Dragon Ball Z,
right?
And was getting like the best of both worlds from the same art director,
right?
That's amazing. But yeah, I mean, the art style is fantastic. I love the way the bosses look. They all look different. Some of them are just downright terrifying. But I mean, at the same time, this game isn't as extreme. It's not like Final Fantasy in a sense of it's not as serious. It's got a lot of serious moments in it and stuff, but I never felt like it was.
Every fight isn't against a god.
Yeah. And I'm not like having to summon like
other
six
gods
or seven guardian creatures, you know, which I'm not ranting on that. I just think that like there's distinct differences between this and it's the same team, right? Square Enix?
Square. Yeah, they weren't Enix yet. They're just Square. Was
before
right
that
now.
Merger?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, people on this game made Final Fantasy, like the good ones.
Yeah.
I haven't made Final Fantasy game in so long. I haven't played any of them other than 10 and what was the other one? Final Fantasy Adventures on the Game Boy or whatever that one was. But I do know that people talk about the fifth or sixth one that's on the Super Nintendo or three six? What
the
is
one,
it?
The one with the mechs.
Yeah, I hear that one.
Where you can suplex a train, a ghost train.
Well, I'm sold. But people, they're always arguing, is it Chrono Trigger or that game better than each other? And then it's like some of the same team.
I would argue for Chrono Trigger just because I like the combat system better.
Okay.
Because every Final Fantasy game plays the same.
Yeah, it has the same.
If you've played a Final Fantasy game, you know how to play another Final Fantasy game.
Yeah, well, I hear people saying except for 16 that came out. It's like,
oh, I've also
taken a giant departure from.
Yeah, it plays roots. Like Devil May Cry.
Oh, okay.
And
that's new.
I've heard some very mixed reviews about it.
That's new. Well, yeah, the game is beautiful. My experience with it was fantastic. It's just. The music is so good. I would listen to it outside of the game. It's one of those. That's how good the soundtrack is. The graphics are obviously they're legendary in a sense of these are just iconic characters that millions of people have fallen in love with and for good reason, because they take these 16-bit sprites and they give them so much character through not just the story, but through like the way they look and how they react and everything. And it's, I'm just blown away across the board.
The fact that their battle animations for each tech are different.
I know. And the variety of enemies is blows my mind.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe. And it's the different settings. I love the idea of the places all look like, and sound like you go into a dystopian future and it has that awful music as you're going on the home world. Or the world map, and you got like the kind of the not voxel effects, but the parallax scrolling above you, like the fog show telling you that it's like polluted air and this is a terrible rundown world. And then you go like back into like the BC era and you get this like very tribal sound and these really lush colors of like greens and stuff showing overgrowth of like an untainted society. And everywhere you go in the game is like perfectly graphically and musically suited. It's arranged perfectly. I love it. I can't praise it enough. So especially like when you're getting intense situations, like the story never like early on in the castle with the execution and like, you know, all that rushing out of that, getting out of that prison music and then having to fight that weird dragon tank. And I could go on and on.
I forgot about the dragon tank.
I could go on and on about this game, man. Then later on, you know, like there's some of those bosses get so hard, dude. Especially like when you get to like the Fiend Lord's Keep before you find out it's Magus.
Oh yeah.
Oh dude, it's. But I don't think the game ever frustrated me too much because I always, when I'd lose really fast, I would ask myself, okay, so what did I do wrong and what do I need to do right? Because I never felt under leveled. I just felt like I didn't know what the angle was.
You did a good job with this too, where there were not a lot of just like instant KO moves.
Right.
There were a lot of bring you to one HP moves.
Yeah.
But you would never just have your party just get murked by one, with the exception of a couple of characters. Lavos definitely had some instant kill moves.
Yeah. And there's also a couple of bosses whose mechanics are when they counterattack can actually like one hit kill you. But you learn that very quickly.
Yeah, and then you just you wait for the cue and not attack them.
Yeah, or you figure out the angle with like what you're supposed to attack them with.
Yeah, because some of them, you know, if you attack them with a physical move, they would have a really powerful physical attack. Or yeah. You attack them with like a fireball and then they're just like hit you for 2 damage.
I know. I hated that. I hated that was one thing I didn't really hate, but it made me laugh because I'd have to keep this Rolodex in my mind. By the way, shout out anybody who knows what a Rolodex is. I had to keep in my mind like what I can and can't use against even just regular enemies that I come across. Because sometimes, like especially like factory level, when you come across those like alkalines and those acids, uh-huh. I was like, what do I do with these guys? But then you find out they just have like 20 HP, but you can only hit them for like 1 to 4.
Right.
So I thought the whole time, I'm like, what do I? I've thrown everything at these guys. And then I realized, oh, they're just really tough, but they don't have a lot of HP.
Right. They just have really, really high defense.
Right.
So if you do have a move that lowers defense.
Which I found out was Robo's punching them in the face yeah. move, which always made me laugh. Because he just draws back and his hand goes across the screen and he just punches them in the face. Gosh. His name was Keith, though. Rest in peace, Keith. Because you did lose him, but kind of. You had to go back. I thought that was cool, too. When Robo like sacrifices himself and yeah. then like, and then you go back or like, oh, the things that happen in the game where you go and see like the same situation that you've affected either in the future, well, not in the past, but because of the past and the future is like changed because something happened. Oh my God. It happens so often.
There's some backtracking spots too, where there'll be,
they kept it fresh.
There'll be chests that, you can check and not open.
Yeah.
It'll be like, oh, this chest is locked. Well, if you leave them locked and then go into the future
yeah.
and find them in the future, they will have better stuff in them.
That's I didn't know that.
Yeah. So if you find a chest that says this chest has you do the check, like, do you want to check it or
yeah,
do you
yeah.
want to open it? You always want to check it and then come back to it later in the future because it'll have much better gear in it.
See, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I didn't know I did that. I also laughed at always you go to an inn no matter what time or not inn, you go to like a whatever the market is, the person is selling you stuff. And it's always that you're just using the same currency. Who cares? It's all gold. But sometimes they joke about that. They're like, I guess if you call this money, I guess we'll trade.
Yeah.
And I'm a big fan of you being able to like it, when an RPG, and it's probably because this is more entry level RPG, I think, for people. But like it shows you like who it helps. And then once you buy it, you can just sell the old thing and there's no problem.
See,
yeah, clean. Like,
hey, do you want to just sell your old crap?
You never run out of money in this game. I feel like they're very generous with the money.
There is a moment where you can lose all your money.
Yeah.
You get captured and it's whatever 3 characters you had, they get captured and they take all your gear.
Yeah.
And you have to go through this long.
That's the level to use Ala or Aya, as you call her, whatever her name was. I call her Ala, but you call her Ayala. Because she doesn't need a lot of stuff.
She just uses her fists.
A brawler. Yeah. So, yeah. And so, oh, man, I mean, I don't know, man. I think it's time just to give our opinions because it's pretty obvious. So let's get to verdict. Tell me how you feel about Chrono Trigger.
This is a must play.
Must play.
Yeah. This is one
top of the hill.
Top of the hill. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is,
I mean, you could consider it a hidden gem in a sense of,
I mean, we didn't know about it.
I never played it. So there's people out there that exist.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things that came out and wasn't initially selling well, but then like 10 years down the road is like the greatest thing ever and everybody needs to experience it. Kind of like Office Space, the movie.
Right.
Kind of like Beastie Boys, Paul's Boutique, where like at first nobody was about it. And then it's like this legendary thing.
Fun thing about Paul's Boutique. There's like over 900 samples in that album.
I know. It has the most, I think.
Yeah.
The record for the most. And it was critically destroyed.
Yeah.
Dude, they said like, what is this garbage? But it was actually funny because that was like a shift of the paradigm in music, or at least for hip-hop.
But if you haven't played this game, you have to play this game.
Well, I'm now a part of the crew that has played the game, and I couldn't agree with you more. Chrono Trigger, going into this as my first experience with it, I'm very happy that I didn't know stuff. And I mean, it's hard for me to recommend somebody right now just heard us say everything that happens in the game, but obviously, it's still worth experiencing because it just really grips you. It's fun to play. Mechanically, it's tight. Visually, it's beautiful for 16-bit graphics. But then again, I feel like Super Nintendo graphics just never age.
Yeah,
they never age.
They kind of nailed their aesthetic down, and it.
And that showed with the Game Boy Advance too. Game Boy Advance, I felt like, was Super Nintendo Part 2.
Well, the thing about this is, even with spoilers, your experience is going to be way different than ours.
Because they have a multiple endings.
They have multiple endings. You also, you could have a party makeup that's all you're ever going to use. They're your ride or die team.
Yeah.
And it's probably going to be completely different from what I like to use.
And you know what's cool is it's only six, possibly seven people. So it's not like you have like Suikoden or Suikoden where it's 108 and you're kind of swapping it out. I now see how overwhelming that probably was compared to somebody who played Chrono Trigger.
Right.
Right. I now see how, okay, those games are very similar.
Or like the Final Fantasies where you just get to have your entire party all the time.
Right. And then you choose like your jobs and all that stuff. But yeah, I mean, for me, it was like a really, really amazing experience. I'm glad that I've finally got this game, you know, under my belt. I don't know what the term is, not under my belt, but I'm glad I played it. I feel like it's a beautiful piece of video game history that clearly set standards and was a big part, I think, in building even some of the future best RPGs and some of the lore and the style and everything. And it's a work of art. It's a glorious game. It's S tier as S tier can get. But it's not my favorite RPG.
Yeah.
Because I think it's above Suikoden. So I'm gonna go out there and say that it's better than Suikoden. But is it better than Earthbound? I don't know. Earthbound has that little bit of nostalgia.
See, and I haven't played Earthbound, so.
Earthbound playing, I mean, I really feel like, and I tell people this all the time, that Earthbound was a big part of my nomadic spirit. Like, without that game coming into my life when it did, as I get older, I don't know if I would want to have traveled as hard as I wanted to. And I think that was a big part of it. That game made me feel as a kid for the first time that I was traveling.
Yeah, I'm aware of it. I've seen people do playthroughs.
It's epic. But so was this.
I've never sat down and...
I don't know. You see, I'm not saying that Earthbound is better. I'm saying right now, I don't know. I'm going to have to revisit. But I don't know what to do because this game is super good. And I can't recommend it enough. So Chrono Trigger, there you go. There's a review. Thank you, Kenshiro, for putting this end to the pool, and Fate finally made me play it. So I'm very happy that I got to experience it. And I see why this is some people's favorite game. Matter of fact, dude, our Instagram, I'm at Instagram post on this. It is the most commented Instagram post of all time.
I'm not surprised.
I'm going to read. I think it's fair for me to read some of these people's because it's like them like gushing and reminiscing. So let me pull that up real quick. Baker Jason says, oh man, what I would give to relive playing this for the first time again. Enjoy your playthrough. Tidbit Retro said, the last of the great SNES RPGs that needs to come to Switch. Ooh, that is true. That is true. Poetic
Feeling. Oh yeah, they would. Yeah, Nintendo, do you want to just have a bucket full of money?
Like they don't already do.
I know, but there's...
I'm surprised this hasn't made it to their the Super Nintendo library on their Switch, because they made it to their Super Nintendo Mini. So Poetic Feeling just said, greatest of all time. Mr. Big 86 says, I remember staying up summer nights during high school playing the abysmal PS1 port and realizing why people say this is the JRPG GOAT. Something about that PS1 port, man, I hear is awful. Redi 421, who I think is one of our, is in our, at least our Discord, says, I've bought every iteration of this game and will buy every future release. It's also got me into Dragon Ball. Just funny.
That's funny.
What a great jumping point to get into Dragon Ball. Sneech says, such an amazing game. Retro Stream, which I think is Van Farrell, says, that music just hits different. What's in a Name says, my favorite game ever. And Rotten Flicks says, I remember that a friend and I spent an entire summer playing this game and trying to beat it with every possible outcome that you could have. We were able to beat it in a very special way where it would rename the NPCs as developers.
Oh, yeah. I remember reading about that one.
And Victoria the Hut just says, yes, followed by three hearts. Of all the games that we've posted or talked about, this is the most renowned and most loved, and I understand and see why. So that, my friends, is Chrono Trigger. And you know what time it is right now? It's time for Mr. Miller to spin the Patreon pool wheel. Get all over here.
We'll be right back.
And the game chosen this week from the Wheel of Retro, thank you for spinning it this week, is a platform video game developed by DMA Designs, who you may remember. We played one of their games in the past. And published by Take-Two Interactive. Originally released for the Nintendo 64 in October of 1998. An adaptation of the game for the Game Boy Color was developed later on. And that game is called Space Station Silicon Valley.
Oh, weird.
So, okay.
Alrighty.
Let's go.
Oh, this. Oh, buddy.
Here we go. So,
oh, buddy.
Sorry to the person that put in Mega Man X2 four times. I swear it's got to come up eventually, right? So join us next week as we play Space Station Silicon Valley on the Nintendo 64. If you want to be a patron, jump in. That's how you put games into our Patreon pool. For $5, you get access to not just all of our bonus content, which is going to be our two other shows, Backlog Eternal and Retro Deep Cuts, but also the Super Garbage Bowl is all going to be on there. So that's going to be fun. $5 gets you a chance to put a game every month in our Patreon pool that we pull from every week, and we review the game on this main show. Or you can just join for $2 and get access to just our bonus episodes. So either way, this show is completely funded and brought to you by the patrons. We enjoy all of you. We thank you very much, and I just want to give a shout out to all of you right now. So Poopy the Mask Keaton, thank you, Van Fierl, Brent Van Tassel, Keith Gasper, the Rancorous, Jake Carter, Timothy Sobrinsky, Jim Yoggle, Artie J. Allen, J. Rodimus Prime, Craig Volpe, Mike O'Connor from the I Missed the 90s, check that out, Travis Lufholm, Vega Barkley, Lyman Lee, Alejandro Esmel, which I think is Seeky Wisdom, and I totally butchered your last name, Cap, Julia Elliott, the Beautiful, Other Brian Ross, and Daniel Conchiro. Thank you guys for being patrons. We appreciate it. And we will see you next week.
Cut to B.
Thank you for watching with my dad. I just want to say, everybody, guys, bye.